It's Tuesday, the 26th of May, day 66. Last weekend, the Financial Times had the good idea of asking a range of people, mostly well-known, as is the fashion with posh newspapers, what they were looking forward to doing after the lockdown ends. For the most part, their desires had a lot in common. Looking forward to seeing family and friends again, being able to kiss and hug loved ones, to play tennis, to go to football matches, to have a haircut. Lots of them seemed to want to go to restaurants again. Simon Sharma, the historian, wanted to revisit the lasagna at Café Caldesi, the crispy chicken skin at Portland, the whole damn menu at Honey and Smoke, fresh broad beans impossible to find in the US, visiting the farmer's market to exchange lengthy notes with Ryan the fishmonger on the dark fate of Tottenham Hotspur. The editor of the FT was looking forward to safe airports, safe flights, testing capacity, and the word quarantine to be forgotten. "My current definition of freedom," she writes, "is to board a flight to Beirut to be united with my father, who's been isolating on his own there for more than 2 months." But she realises that there's little chance of that in the coming weeks, probably even months, unless she's willing to spend 4 weeks in quarantine. The historian Yuval Noah Harari is sombre, as is his wont. "The impact of the crisis," he writes, "will be enduring, continuing long after the lockdown is lifted. It will be a marathon more than a sprint. So it's crucial to avoid burnout. And it's even more crucial to break the chain of infectious thoughts and take some time out for some uncontaminated reflection." So he looks forward to shutting down his computer and heading off to a retreat centre, which has been closed throughout the lockdown. The physicist Carlo Rovelli is not looking forward to the end of the lockdown. "I love staying at home," he says, "reading, writing, being quiet. The lockdown has given me the opportunity for months in a small, tranquil paradise." I know what he means. There have been lots of things about this period that I have strangely enjoyed. And yet I look forward also to its end. I look forward to seeing my children and grandchildren again, to having barbecues in the garden with lots of them, to being able to hug my loved ones after such a long incarceration. I also look forward very much to the moment when my extended family will be able to meet, to celebrate and remember my lovely mother-in-law, who was taken by the virus in a care home left unprotected by a careless and frivolous administration which failed in the most important responsibility of a democratic government, which is to protect its citizens from avoidable harm. I long to see my sisters and old friends in Ireland, and to walk again on the beaches in Kerry and Donegal that we love so much. I want to go back to the hotel in Norfolk where we often stay, hoping that it will still be solvent enough to reopen, and to walk through the salt marshes down to the beach at Brancaster and watch birds again. And most of all, I look forward to driving through France, to experiencing the magic of arriving again at the small hotel in Saumur, which is always our first stop over in Burgundy, and to walk through the crowded streets of Arles on a summer's evening looking for somewhere to eat. And as I think about these things, I wonder how many of them will turn out to be possible in the post-pandemic world. Strangely, I also look forward to getting back to work. We have a big new research project starting, and I long to spend those regular Wednesday mornings sitting around a table with the postdocs, talking and gossiping and arguing about a research paper, rather than doing everything on Zoom, Microsoft Teams, Jitsi, Google Meet and Skype. Those electronic tools have been great in their way, but honestly, there's no substitute for good old-fashioned F2F, as we used to call face-to-face encounters in the old days. But most of all, what I look forward to is the moment when Dominic Cummings is prosecuted for breaking the lockdown and fired from his post as Boris Johnson's Svengali. Revenge, as they say, is a dish best eaten cold.